Thank you, Arlene. And next will be LaVarne Williams with a financial overview, and then we're going to be up against it on our lunch hour there. So thank you, everyone. That's why I didn't have anything to say during my 15 minutes. We took that getting it together. No, you know.
My plan this morning is the major concern, I think, is for with any organization concerning finance is really to understand when you see a report from the that you understand the financial reports and how those financial reports were actually pulled together. And the way that happens is through the budget. Now, I've distributed a package. Basically, it's a package. It's an outline that I found online, and I amended it some to our process. But also, you will see in there are some steps in there that we should be doing. So I've sort of combined what we're doing and what we should be doing in terms of getting a budget. And it's basically in the form of a checklist. So I had a little John's going to help me. We'll bring it up later. But what we can do is just get started from the package. And so basically what I've called did I pass those? Did you get a copy?
Yeah. Is that in here?
No, I had a stack of paper. I'm sorry.
They're coming around.
Okay, I have some more here.
If you don't have one yet, you will.
Okay, some have holes in them. I don't know if you...
No, I don't. Just like the budget.
Thank you.
And, yes, some have holes in them and some do not. So what I've done is pulled together, again, a little package called Budgeting 101. But before I get started, we were talking about history, and we're here in Houston, Texas, and, of course, this is the month of February, which our government has reserved and decided to have for Black History Month. And since I'm a New World African woman, I brought actually in a copy of a poll tax receipt. That was my great-grandfather's. Well, it's 1913, so my great-grandmother would not have been allowed to vote in 1913. But I do have one from 1928 where it's a copy of a poll tax receipt for my great-grandmother and my great-grandfather. But I have this copy, which I can make a copy of and distribute later that I was going to show. And it's like 1913. It's for Walker County in the state of Texas. Walker County is north of here. Walker County, the seat of Walker County is Huntsville. So basically, you know, what we're at the time in 1913 during apartheid and right how many years after slavery, we're living in a and you know in a state that is first is stolen land and you know where you know where it's stolen land and labor. And you know up until 1865 or 66 when in Galveston when black people in Texas were informed that they were the Emancipation Proclamation had passed. So you know just a little history here to kind of like ground me anyway in terms of what we need to have done here today. So we can get started. So basically what I've called it is Budgeting 101. And this is kind of, we've kind of gone over these discussions before, but not really in detail. So what I have here is just, again, like a checklist and questions to consider when you start budgeting. And at the end of this package, I have copies from the budget for KPFT. Because, hello, Wesley. I'm sorry I didn't come over and introduce myself to you. We'll just get rid of this.
There's somebody's phone on vibrate next to you.
one
from the sound of those phones.
Right, from one of my fans. So what we want to do is like questions to consider when we start budgeting. You know, the question is, you know, why generate a budget? You know, and what is the timeline for the budget? Who is involved and in what way? And how do you deal with uncertainty in budgets? And like I have here noted, that the source of most of this information, with some changes, is a website called nonprofitsassistancefund.org. So that's where you'll see a lot of this material. And again, like I said, I've used a lot of it, basically word for word, and I've made some changes because these are some of the things that we do and some of the things that we are not doing that we should do. So when you start budgeting, basically you start with historical data. And when using information from previous years, you make sure to use accurate, actual numbers. So the reason why this is very important, because some people will start a budget by just kind of pulling numbers from the air or not looking at what the numbers are, the actuals that you have actually spending and revenue over the past years. So particularly, I'll try not to go off course too much, but particularly with Pacifica, and Pacifica's funds mainly come from pledges and from fundraising. So when you're looking at your historical data from previous years, you have to look at how much you have raised over those years, and you have to also look at, you'll see later, in terms of the economic times or climate during that time. So then in the budgeting, you have to make projections about the rest of the current year. Because when you start your budget, like we should start our budgeting process, this is the month of February, we should start in March with the budget. So when you're looking at your actual numbers, you're looking only at numbers from October through February. So then you have to project what the rest of the year will be. Now, although you have a budget for that year, at that point in time, you should go in and do what we've always called an outlook of your spending for the rest of the year. And also, you have to determine your goals. A budget is a plan and document to prepare your organization for the next fiscal year. So you have to see, particularly with the foundation, you know, what are the goals? Our goals, you know, we plan to continue to raise funds by talking to our listeners and getting pledges. We plan to, like, pursue grants. We plan to do community events. We plan to have our LSBs help with the fundraising. As Teresa and I talked with your development director, Robin, yesterday, and she was telling me about the efforts. So therefore, you have to determine, you know, what are your goals, and finance their goals also. And some of those may be, as Arlene was saying, we need to build up our reserves again for our rainy day. And that's basically what we would need to do. And ultimately, what we would need to do is not only build up our reserves, but get an endowment so that we're actually, in terms of fundraising, we can decrease the number of days and we can live on this endowment. So that's the ultimate goal, my goal for the foundation. And you have to set your priorities ahead of time. So when you get into the budget, you know, it's not like you're throwing the numbers there. You have to see what the priorities are in setting the budget. And again, it comes down to looking at revenue levels. You have to try to determine the fulfillment rates for pledges and also what your confirmed grants are, because that's also how the foundation really lives in most not-for-profits. They live through grants and also from not-for-profit foundations. So then you want to know who is involved with the budgets. Now, Arlene has gone over in our in our bylaws in terms of who's involved in drafting the budget. But when you get inside in terms of operations, it's the department heads can help draft a budget. And so they're here. Thank you, John. So here you have your department heads, your development director, your program director, your engineering, which is very important, particularly when it comes to capital improvements, and those department heads are really the people who you would go to see what are the requirements for the coming year. And you also work with other staff members to get the most accurate numbers. And as we said, thank you very much. program directors know the program directors know their direct program costs. Development and database managers know fundraising. They know about fulfillment rates, and they know about the associated cost of fundraising. And your business managers use information and their expertise to put together the most useful budget. Now, this line comes from the website, but basically this is how it should work. Your business managers use the information and their expertise to put together the most useful budget. So what I would like to do in our next meeting, I would like to give everyone an assignment, and that assignment, which we aren't really sure when the next in-person meeting will be. Excuse me, but what I would like, each one of you will have an assignment to bring in your draft budget that your business manager has pulled together. So that's your assignment for the next in-person meeting. And then the next topic is working with the Finance Committee. The Finance Committee is involved, and the role of the board is to provide strategic direction and set priorities for the organization. So that's us, and including Arlene and I, who are also members of the board. But this is the role of the board, and this is how the Finance Committee is involved, because they'll communicate that. Thank you. Thank you very much. The Finance Committee investigates and communicates concerns of other board members. So the Finance Committee within the PNB, they will get with all of you to see what your concerns are in the budget. And you focus on your budget assumptions, focus on the budget timeline, and then go into working with the Finance Committee. How engaged should the Finance Committee be? And this is a lot from the website. It said, you don't want to micromanage. Excuse me. It's.
Do you need some water, LaVar?
I have some. Just a minute. I think I have cough drops, too. Excuse me, this is sinus, this California sinus thing. in this website, it says you don't want to micromanage. It's especially if the board focuses more on governance than on operations. And unless there are issues, their role is to oversee and review the process, not to draft the budget. And this is something that we really need to work on within the foundation, because different stations are able to handle the budgeting process differently based on levels of expertise and skill. But these are basic guidelines. And, is there a budget policy as part of a larger financial policy or in the bylaws? And there is. When you reread those, the budget policy for the committee is to review the budget and the board here has the responsibility to pass the budget. And on budget timelines, there's always a balancing act between getting the accurate and up-to-date information and planning well in advance. And the budget meetings, we should put it on KPFTX. You should put it on the calendar well in advance. And also, budgeting can be a tool for managing your organization. And this is what's really important, because later we'll talk about what you can do is with your budget, when you review your actuals each month with your department heads, your general managers, that's how you can really determine. You're talking about the actions that you're taking, your progress in terms of your area, and that's really a control and a managing tool for the organization. And it says you work backwards when determining the budget timelines. You determine, when you want it approved. So ideally, we're supposed to have our budget approved in September. So what we've done, and we've talked with the general managers, is that we really want the budget ready by the end of August. So at that time, in September, the budget should be approved. And the Finance Committee, which will start up again, and on the Finance Committee, for those people who are new, is that each station elects a treasurer, and that treasurer is on the Finance Committee, and then a director, one director from each station goes on the Finance Committee, and then I'm also on the Finance Committee, and I also vote as a member of the Finance Committee. So that means there are only 11 people on the Finance Committee, and we do meet regularly. And so the Finance Committee, when they meet, those will be the people who are on there, and you go over your assumptions and questions in detail. You set up board review meetings. And, of course, as we said, the board approval should be before the start of the fiscal year. And in any budgeting, there's always uncertainty, and it's based on the economic climate. There's uncertainty about fulfillment rates, so you're always working really hard to improve those rates. You also should work hard to have as much secured funding as possible. So the grants that you're receiving each year, you should actually have those grants secured and talking with the people who are giving you the grants so that you will know that you will have them the following year. In addition to, again, you know, I'll use Houston, which we're here, did a really great process last year where I believe you brought in a group, and the group worked for about 3 months. And they have secured a number of grants, a number of funding sources. And I believe the project that Teresa's talking about, they're using one of the sources to raise funds and for KPFT. So those are some of the things that you can do, and you see direct results. And also, it's very important to have individual donor relationships. And sometimes these things just kind of like fall out of the air. I mean, people contact you to set up arrangements either through annuities or different types of bequests that comes to you. But that's something that, you know, with the development committee, we can try to set up some process of how do you do that? How do you contact these individual donors? How do you develop these relationships? And, you know, it's also very important, you know, I'll just throw this out here, that people need to understand that this is a very delicate situation in terms of these relationships, because people, if they want to leave money to the foundation, they have to be satisfied that, you know, it's a viable foundation, that the people there understand their responsibilities, and the people also have the skills to speak to people in a cordial manner. That, you know, it's a very delicate position that we are in when we really try to talk to individuals to secure funding for this foundation. So we have to really respect that and realize, you know, either, you know, you have the talent to do this. To do this, or you don't, and if you don't, you shouldn't try to do that. So, also, you should consider alternate budgets and scenario planning. And with this foundation, you know, cash flow, from my viewpoint, is, especially during this time, is critical. So, you know, there's also cash flow templates that are in here, but it's actually like the one that we use, and the one, let me use KPFT again. They do the business manager does a cash flow every month, and she projects it out like 18, 24 months. So, you know, and even at that, I mean, if you know when approximately you're going to do your fundraisers, then you can project your cash flows because your expenses are basically fixed.
Careful, Otis.
Get back to job, get the projector.
See if you can pull it.
It didn't do anything to you this morning. It's been good all morning.
We did it last year.
Okay. It's too late. We don't need it. I'm fine. Yeah, okay. Okay, so you have to consider alternate budgets, you know, in case there's, Arlene was talking about the hurricane in Florida, in case you really, a fundraiser is not successful. Like last year with PFW, their antenna, their transmitter went out. So they're trying to fundraise, and you're not able to reach anyone. So, you know, you really have to be careful. You really have to consider those possibilities, and that's the reason to also to have reserves. And, of course, as when you do see reduced revenue, you have to offset that by reducing your expenses. Amazing. Right. Okay. And then, you know, there are always budget revisions, so as we go through the year, you know, the actuals, you have to update the actuals and perhaps revise the budget. That also, it's very important, they point out in here also, is that you should have a forecast, or what we always call, where I worked, an outlook, so that, like, after 6 months, you should look at your budget, look at your expected spending, and then do a forecast or an outlook of what you really think the spending should be. So we should really incorporate that. And then also perhaps you should change the budget. Oh, thank you. You can change the budget, and those are basically budget updates. And also budgeting can be used as a fiscal agent. Like the Pacifica Radio Archives, they're doing really tremendous projects. They're getting grants. They're getting funds in where they're doing various work with the NEA. And so basically they get the grants, you get the revenue, and you spend it. So, you know, there's no you're doing the work. There's no surplus there. You know, what you bring in, that's what you spend. And sometimes, you know, we have to change our business model. Now, I don't anticipate the foundation changing our business model unless someone was to give us an endowment. So that's kind of what, you know, where we are with budgeting. You know, it's a process it's time-consuming, but it should be more of a flow. I mean, it's not like in like you do it in, like, discrete segments. You're, like, doing this every month. And you see that there's, a flow and a cycle to this. So what I've included, if we could show it there, the numbers are really small when you look at the copies here. But this was KPFT's budget. So this is when they had started. You can see that they had the actuals through July, and then they set up their budget. Now, KPFT actually passed their budget, I believe, in, like, July maybe. So you can see they had the actuals in there through that time. They had their budget. They have the listener support. They have total revenue. We have a summary here at the top where it shows that they're expecting a net surplus of $30,000. And that's with revenue of $1.3 million and expenses of a little less than $1.3 million to give a surplus of about $31,000. And then they have some capital expenditures, which working on the transmitter, and some office furniture, and I believe that's some leasehold building improvements. So when you go to the building, if those who have not seen it, you will see that it is, as I was
there.
Well, I was there last night, and one of the staff there said, you know, this is community radio. It's in the community. It's a house, but it does require a lot of maintenance. And I understand you guys have your Spy Slamajama, where you go in on a monthly basis to clean up, paint, do all kinds of little maintenance facilities at the station. So, and this is a volunteer crew also. And so that shows in terms of how the budget is developed and how it should be developed within Pacifica and the way KPFT, they really do a really good job there. And then the next section I have is the way they've done their revenue projection. If you go over, the top of the sheet has revenue. That's really the interesting one there that Teresa's looking at. It's after the one says budget, FY 2011, then the next little section says revenue. There you go. And the revenue just shows how they've developed the revenue. It shows collection
money.
Yes, yeah. So it shows in terms, it's under revenue. It's the next section after the budget. There's a header. There are sheets there that says revenue. At the top of the sheet, it's like page one. It's revenue, page one of four. And it just shows in terms of the collection month, the percentage of collection. It shows the amount that of the pledge, the drive, beginning there with October 2009. And as you see, each month, there's still revenue coming in. And then February 2010. So the last section is the second to last. We have a cash flow section. And when you fill in your cash flow, and that's how the budget is actually developed, you put in the cash flow, and then it goes over to your budget. That's the way the template goes. Okay. And the very last sheet, you'll see it's very tiny. And these are the assumptions. So when we were talking about the budget, you know, what are the assumptions? You know, what are the priorities? This shows what we use to develop each one of the line items. So do we have, everyone has the assumption sheet? It's at the end. There are four pages. Page one of four is the first one. And so it starts with the fund drive goals, and it shows, you know, how many, when to expect the first fund drive is October, 19 days, and you're expecting to raise
This is
pledge is right.
So the goal is the 320.
320, and then the pledge for 2011.
LaVarne, who sets the goal? How is the goal set?
The goals
is it
are
through the LSP or
no, that? No, no. The budgeting is actually done by staff. So the goals are set by the general manager and his department heads or her department heads. And they set the goals. And basically, they look at what they'd done in the prior year, uh-huh, how many days, and also they start looking at, you know, what the fulfillment rates are over the year, and they set the number of goals, a number of days, and then and how much they plan to raise.
And for those of us who may not know, what's the?
I'm sorry. For those of us who may not know, how is the fulfillment rate?
The fulfillment rate. I'll have a package for each one of you. It'll be on this little flash drive, and what I'll show you will be there's a database manager, and they actually maintain the member database, and in this database it has all of the pledges that come in, and they produce a report that shows for each drive you will see the number of pledges and the payments that have actually come in. So the fulfillment rate is how many pledges are paid versus how many pledges are actually paid versus the total pledges that were made during the drive. So if you during the drive you have $100,000 in pledges, and sometime maybe 6 months later you have received $80,000, that means your fulfillment rate is 80%. So that's what a fulfillment rate is. And 80% over 6 months would be doing pretty well.